Today marks the beginning of our new series, which is called Welcome Home. Welcome Home. We're so excited about this series. As you can see, we even set everything up for it. We have our couch and a table and everything. It's very inviting, very welcoming, because that's what we believe church should be. We believe that church should be a place that is welcoming, where kids can dance at the front. We believe that church should be a place where you feel like you can be at home, where you don't have to feel like you have to put on any kind of pretense. Church should be home. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be discussing why that is, why and how church is more than a Sunday service, why and how church is more than just a building where we come and wear our Sunday best and go through the motions. Church is so much more than that, and we're going to explore how. We're also going to be featuring our different ministries, putting a spotlight on some of the different things that we do here at West Winds, and to to make it really real, we've asked people from our church, people that you know that you're sitting next to right now, actually, to come and share from their stories and their experiences at the different ministries in our church so you can find out a little bit more about how God is working at West Winds and through West Winds. So we're really excited because we just think that it's going to be an incredible 3 weeks of sharing and learning things that are new and just really discussing what it means to be the church together. So if you are able to, please join us over the next 2 weeks after this one so that we can do this together. So I get the privilege of starting today with our Welcome Home series with our life groups because I'm the connections pastor here. Yep. Caitlin, whoop. I get to start because I'm the one who oversees our life groups and kind of organizes them and makes sure that they're doing well. I'm super, 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 super excited about this John study, you guys. I'm sorry. My husband, Christian, had to tell me to dial it down a touch. I was so excited. I was, like, vibrating. But I think there are some really neat things that God is doing in and through our life groups. And we've talked a little bit about it from the stage. Life groups are groups that meet weekly in different people's homes to connect, to study the Bible, and to pray. We have a few different ones. We have about 10 in our church right now, and they meet during the week and just support each other and just support each other in a variety of different ways. And some of the stories that have come out of our life groups have been really amazing. So I'm excited for you to hear some of those stories today. But I just wanted to talk a little bit for those who maybe have never been in a life group before or are kind of intimidated by what a life group is. What is a life group? Is it for life? What is it? If you've never been a part of one, it can be a little bit intimidating. It can be a little bit, it can feel a little bit daunting. And maybe for some of you, there's even a little bit of hesitation because you're not sure about time. Maybe some of you are thinking, you know what? I put in my Sundays. I put in my 75 minutes on a Sunday morning. Why do I have to add something to my schedule? Why do I have to add more church to my schedule? I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, right? Like, I'm going to church. I put my kids in Sunday school. I do the stuff I'm supposed to do. Why more? Why life groups? I wanted to share a little bit about why I think they're important, because I do think that they're important. I was speaking to somebody a couple months back and she was telling me a little bit about Weight Watchers. I know it's kind of a random thing, but she was telling me about how she went to a Weight Watchers meeting, and she was kind of unsure because they were deciding to rebrand Weight Watchers. Rebranding is a very millennial term, right? They were rebranding Weight Watchers to stay relevant and to stay contemporary with today's culture, and they've decided to start calling it WW. And it's like Weight Watchers reimagined, right? So Weight Watchers reimagined. And what they've done is they've added all these features, all these things online to Weight Watchers. They've added an app. They've added digital point tracking. They've added all these different things to try to keep up with today's culture, to keep up with today's technology. But the thing that I found interesting is that Weight Watchers, even though they've moved everything to be online, to be digital, to be technology-centered, they actually still emphasize the importance of attending weekly face-to-face meetings. Face-to-face meetings. And I thought that was interesting, so I did a little bit of digging as to why, and they said this on the website. He said, it's important to attend weekly meetings because without support, it's easy to fall into old traps and find yourself right back where you started. The bottom line is that attending meetings will keep you focused on getting what you want the most. It's pretty good reasoning, right? Now, what Weight Watchers and other organizations like Alcoholics Anonymous and other organizations that provide support to help people reach their goals, what they have tapped into is the power of something that has been woven into the DNA of Christian life ever since the church started. This is nothing new. They've discovered something that God knew all along. The early Christians, when the church started, would go to the synagogue to hear teachings from their scriptures every single week. So they went to church. But during the week, they would meet in people's houses to eat together, to learn the gospel together, to pray together, and to take communion together. That sounds an awful lot like life groups, doesn't it? They would do this, and these little communities were so radical in their love and their hospitality to each other and to outsiders that they transformed lives, and ultimately they transformed the world. What Weight Watchers, Alcoholics Anonymous, and the early Christians know is something that God knew all along. And that's that growth happens in the context of community. There is a limit to how much we can do on our own. There is a cap to how much growth we can experience when we try to do things by ourselves. The Apostle Paul, or not Paul, Peter. Peter, in 1 Peter, his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, says this. So put away all malice and deceit, and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, something that we notice right away when we look at these scriptures, and I'm going to go back just so we can look at it together, is that when you look at the sins that Peter is telling them to stop doing, they are all sins that involve our relationships with other people. They are all sins that involve relational discord, because it's pretty hard to be malicious towards someone that's not there. Right? It's hard to be envious of somebody that you don't know. It's hard to slander someone, well, maybe it's not, but it's hard to be a hypocrite towards somebody that's actually not right in front of you. A lot of these sins, the entirety of this list is all about relational sin. And what this tells us is that Peter, sorry, force of habit. Peter actually just assumes that these Christians that he's writing to are in relationship with each other. It's just a given to him. It's just automatic. To Peter, there is no such thing as a lone wolf Christian. And I would argue that to the entirety of the Bible, the entirety of the biblical writers, there is no such thing as an independent Christian that needs nobody else. That just doesn't exist for them. And it's against this backdrop of relationship that Peter calls them to discipleship. He says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, long for food, long to be fed, long to grow. Now, there's a misunderstanding with this verse sometimes, and that's that they think that Peter is talking to people who are new in the faith, people that maybe don't know very much about the gospel, but that's actually not who he's referring to. He's telling all of them to be like newborn infants. He's actually calling them to be like children in the sense that he wants them to all be characterized by the same hunger that a child is characterized by. Nobody has to teach a baby how to be hungry, right? You don't have to teach a child to cry for food. You don't have to teach a baby to cry that, you know, mom feeds them. They just do it by instinct. It's natural. It's natural for a baby to be hungry. And that's what Peter's telling them to do here. Be hungry. Stay hungry. Be characterized by that hungry, by that hunger. And in fact, if a baby weren't hungry, we'd actually think that something was wrong, wouldn't we? If a baby stops eating, if a baby doesn't eat, we just realize, we recognize that usually that means that there's something wrong with the child, right? So be hungry, stay hungry. And the interesting thing is, as we pursue spiritual maturity, as we pursue spiritual growth, Peter tells us that he becomes, that we become built into something called a spiritual house, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, a temple, a place where people can minister and be ministered to. We all know this game, Jenga, right? Like, we all know this. Has everyone in here played Jenga? You all know this? I'm going to skip ahead because I actually missed one of the slides. You haven't played Jenga, Mark? I just realized you said that. Really? Oh, you don't play games. That's okay. For the rest of us mortals who have played Jenga. He has played Jenga. He has played Jenga. Thank you, Michelle. Stop lying. Jenga. You recognize that as you continue to play Jenga, you get more and more nervous. Why? Because the fewer and fewer pieces there are in the tower, the more likely it's going to fall, right? So we recognize the fewer pieces there are, the weaker the structure is. In Jenga, every piece matters. Every piece matters. And in a spiritual house, in the spiritual house that God is building, all of us are individual building blocks. And it's the same thing. Every piece matters. Every piece matters. The building is stronger when you and I are in it. Every piece matters. And I would argue that unlike Jenga, every piece matters even more because we're not all the same. You look at all these Jenga blocks, they're all the same. They're square, they're wooden, they're rectangular, right? They're all designed to fit into each other the same way. That's not the way it is with people. We're unique. All of us have different experiences, different perspectives, different giftings, different things that we're called and gifted to do. So if one of us is missing, that piece is irreplaceable because there's no one on this earth that is just like you. Every piece matters, even more. All of us have a unique role, a unique call in the spiritual house that God is building. But if we are not pursuing spiritual growth and maturity, and if we are not in a place where we are ministering and being ministered to, we may never actually find out what that role and that calling is. We may never find out what it is that God has uniquely designed us to do simply because we never gave ourselves the opportunity to find out. And what life groups is it's an opportunity to find out. It's togetherness with purpose. Life groups give us an opportunity to learn and to listen and to discuss things that we wrestle with in faith and in life together. Life groups give us an opportunity to know others and to be known by them, to hear stories that challenge us and excite us and encourage us, that shape us. Life groups gives us a chance to exercise the gifts that God has given us. It gives prayer warriors a chance to be prayer warriors. It gives teachers, Bible teachers, people who love the Bible, a chance to teach what they're passionate about. It gives encouragers and exhorters a chance to speak words of life and truth into other people's lives. And it gives people who are gifted with hospitality to be happy hosts and hostesses and to bless people with their generosity. incredible thing is it gives us a chance to be blessed by other people's gifts too. So life groups is not a hobby. It's not a social club. And it's not just a Bible lecture that you attend once a week in addition to church. It is so much more than that. It's togetherness with purpose. But don't take my word for it. I'm going to invite our panel to come up, and they're going to share a few stories from their own experiences at Life Group. So come on up, you guys. Mark has a microphone, right? Mark, you're going to help me facilitate this little panel thing. It's good. And you're the one who has to give them the mic, so it's good because you can't always be talking, so can't lie about Jenga.
I will do that.
Okay, good. Awesome. So why don't we just get you guys to introduce yourselves, and tell everyone your name, and then say a little bit about what life group you're a part of and how long you've been attending it.
So my name's Graham, and I've been attending the Davis Life Group, which is led by Mark and Michelle, hosted by Kathy and Mike Jari. And I've been going there for just a little over a year now.
And I'm Kathy. I've been going to Monday night group that is now hosted at Kathy and Dave Frozy's for 5 or maybe 6 years, I'm not sure. And it was such a great experience that I offered to host another group in our house, which has been great. So we're now going into our 3rd year on Tuesday night.
Hi, I'm Caitlin. I attend Wednesday nights, the best night, with Claria. And I've been attending for 2 years.
Awesome. So why don't we go back, we'll go back down this way, and I want to ask you, what has been your favorite part of Life Group? Like, what is the best thing about Life Group for you?
There's so many good things. Kalman's beet brownies.
He's a kind of a health nut in our church, so he makes like avocado chocolate pudding and...
He uses almond flour.
Yeah, okay. So you love beet brownies.
Yeah, so, and also I just love it because it's super fun and, yeah.
Yeah, we like to eat at our groups too. For me, the best thing is not just meeting people, but getting to know people. Mm-hmm. So Sunday morning, you have 4 minutes. You can shake hands. You can ask names. It's a lot of fun. But I'm not going to remember those names in 2 weeks. When you are in a small group, you make a commitment of your time to get to know those people, really get to know them. And that's the greatest part. We are all different. We are all at different places in our journey home, and you learn from the people around you. It's a wonderful place to learn.
Mm-hmm. And Kathy stole most of my answer, but that's okay. What I love most is diversity. We have a really diverse group on the Tuesday night group. Very wide in age, and that's great because everybody's got a different life perspective. So when we're studying, I have my perspective, but it's also really interesting to hear the different perspectives from the different age groups that are in the room.
So you probably think, I got enough stuff going on during the week. How can I add another thing to my night? That's when we first originally talked about this. Michelle's like, we should do a life group. I'm like, yeah, and where would you like to fit that in? Because, you know, everybody's busy, everybody's got stuff going on. And so you're busy during the day, and it's easy to be like, oh, it's been such a long day, I'm not going to another thing at night. The thing is, if you just drive yourself there, by the time you walk in the door and how they greet everyone, you are ready to go. You're ready to go. It just takes that moment. It's discipline, right? Nobody wants to go to the gym and work out unless you're a weirdo. So, okay, and good for you if you're that weird. But nobody wants to do it. I mean, the inside you want to, but physically going, you're like, I got to change, and I don't know. It's annoying. So you don't want to go. Or you know, who loves grocery shopping? Not this guy right here. Nobody wants to go get food, but you really want to eat it. So the key is to pick one and go. Honestly, everything you're doing in your life, yes, you're busy, we're all busy, but if you take that moment, step in and give it a go, I promise you, you won't regret it, because like them, they show up, everybody just kicks in. They've all had busy days, whether or not your boss has been whatever, except at, you know, I'm always good to you guys. You guys are always ready to go. Yeah, your boss is awesome. I wish I worked for him. But wherever you are, you know, no matter what's going on in your life, come. I promise you, you'll feel better when you leave.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. Like, I would say that there's been moments where I'm like, I'm so tired. Like, I have school, I have stuff to do, I have, you know, work. And then I get there and I laugh, like, I laugh harder than I have all day. Like, I eat not beet brownies.
Almond flour?
No. No, usually it's chips. I eat chips or I eat, like, I snack, and then we talk with people, and it's totally reinvigorating. Like, it's so crazy how, you know, like, it's true. Like, you may not feel that it's going to be a highlight when you are on your way, but once you get there, it's that totally changes. Yeah, and I think we've all kind of said that it's the people, the group that we get to do it with, like, that makes a huge difference, right? So how has being in a life group challenged you? How has it challenged you?
Lots of different ways too. And it's really, that's not a 2 second or a 2 minute answer. It's challenged me in ways to be open and open up to people about things that have happened in my life that otherwise I wouldn't normally. But the small group atmosphere, and once you get to know people and you're comfortable and you know that what is said there is kept there, it's one of the commitments that we make as a small group, that anything shared in that small group is remains within that group. And that's really a key thing for me, because I'm not an outgoing person as everybody thinks I am, but I'm not really, so that's been a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to change orders here, because he just... I am the same. I like to be... I'm kind of closed. I like to keep myself private. So it's been so good to be in life groups where you are safe to talk. You're safe to ask questions. You can even put your foot in your mouth, and nobody will ask you not to come back next week. There was another thought. I can't remember what it was. But it's a safe place. You realize that you're not the only person who doesn't have it all together. Mm-hmm. You don't have all the answers. Everybody has a question. Everybody has a wonder. And it's good to talk about those things. And it's safe there. It stays there.
For me, I don't really have a hard time sharing my story, but I do have a hard time showing my emotions. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, young adults has really challenged me to express those emotions, and, like, it's okay to cry, even though deep down I'm like, no, it's not. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of times it's not that we're challenged, we can't learn something. It's actually putting those things into practice and admitting that we don't always do things perfectly. I think that's a big challenge of life group. Admitting that we're not perfect and choosing to be open about that and be with people who aren't perfect either, like, that's hard. It's challenging. It's why it's easier to go to a Bible class and just sit and listen, right? Life groups can really challenge us. And in being vulnerable and being open about where we are, it actually opens us up to grow in an incredible way. What would you say to anyone who is interested in life group but feels intimidated or unsure about it?
I would say, let's go. I would tell them that it's super fun, and yeah, don't be intimidated, because everyone is super, super nice, and you'll probably meet your BFFs, so yeah.
Best friends forever, for anyone who didn't know what BFFs is. Hashtag.
And I would also say, just come. We'd be so happy to put another chair out for you, and we will give you some cookies and some coffee and a nice selection of tea. And there's no contract, so if you don't like it, you don't have to come back.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you'll love it. You'll just love it. Yeah. By the time you get there, you will be ready, and by the time you leave, you will be awake, and then you have to go to bed. So.
Yeah, I would agree. There's always that fear when you're trying something new, but just step out, because once you do, and once you meet the people, and you're comfortable, and it might not be your first group that you're comfortable in. It might be your second or third one. But as Elise was saying, we have 10 right now. There's one out there for everybody. So check them out and see where what one fits you best, and just plug in.
There's a board just out there that Pastor Elise has put together, and they have little cards on there. And it tells you where they are and who's doing the life group and all that kind of stuff. But also, we have an app. It's Church Center app. And if you download that app and put it in West Winds Church, it'll tell you all the life groups, and you just sign up. And you just click on, and boom, you show up. So I think if I was going to tell someone what to do about going to a life group, and you have a smartphone, I would say download the app, plug in, find a life group, and then hit yes, I'm coming. And then what that will do is it'll make you have to come because yeah. you've done something, right? It's a first mm-hmm. step. If that's not your thing, if you're not an app type person, grab a card, send an email, make a phone call and say, I'm coming. Commit to it. Because if you commit to it and say, I'm going to come and try it out, you kind of sort of feel obligated that you should do it. So that's kind of the first step. And after that obligation, because nobody wants to say, I'm coming somewhere and then not show up. That's just rude. So we would love for you to make that happen. So download the app or go there or talk to Pastor Elise. Maybe she'll know which one might fit for you. Yeah. And you can tell her a few things.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll say before we go downstairs for chili is this. It's 8 weeks. 8 weeks is not a very, very long time, right? It's 8 weeks. It's maybe an hour and a half every week of your life. But it's an hour and a half of 8 weeks of your life per week that you're going to spend investing in your growth. You're going to spend it learning with other people, getting to know other people beyond a handshake and a smile. You're going to invest it in reading the Bible and praying with other people. What do you have to lose? An hour and a half every week for 8 weeks. I believe that if we invest a little bit of our time, a little bit of our energy, and a little bit of our effort into that 8 weeks, I think God can do a lot more with a little than you think. God can do a lot in that hour and a half per week, 8 weeks, over 8 weeks. So I'd encourage you. That's the reason we designed the John study to be 8 weeks, because we know that your life could look different in January, even in December. But if you can commit 8 weeks, if you can commit 8 weeks of your life, an hour and a half per week, you'll see some incredible fruit and some amazing things that God wants to do in your life and in the life of the people around you. So don't be afraid. Investing in God is never a bad investment. It's never a bad investment.
And I would say that Jesus died on the cross for you, so 8 weeks is not too bad, right?
It's not
a guilt trip, is it? Am I guilting you?
A little bit. That's okay.
Just a tiny bit?
It's
bad
all right.
Theology, but it works.
It's all good. It's good. And I think on that note, we should wrap up and pray. So let me wrap up and pray, and then we'll go downstairs for chili. God, thank you so much.